Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, June 18, 2024.
Joel. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to Joel chapter 3. Joel 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, there is an announcement. Most of you know about this. Vacation Bible School will begin next Monday. Monday through Friday of next week. And we know it's going to be hot Bible doctrine. And hot every way possible next week. I encourage you to pray that God would open the eyes of the people in southern Nevada to know that there is Vacation Bible School at Upland Bible Church. Pray that God would draw by His hand of grace all those kids and parents who are supposed to be here. Pray that He would prepare their hearts. And pray for the entire VBS team. Pray that the grace gospel and basic doctrines are presented clearly and accurately. Pray that through this God might bring many sons into glory and edify those new believers with the doctrine that is taught. So Vacation Bible School, starting next Monday, the 24th to the 28th. And then, Hal Lindsey article, ISIS in America. Most of us can sympathize with many of the reasons that people choose to try and enter the United States illegally. We understand those motives, even when we can't approve of them. But there are others who are illegally entering the country who have the most wicked motives imaginable. And these have come to kill and steal and destroy. These are terrorists. And we know that they are entering our country. How do we know? Well, let's look at the numbers. There is a term that they use, a gotaway. Gotaway. A gotaway is someone that the Border Patrol observes unlawfully crossing the border, but who is not apprehended. Between the years 2010 and 2020, many Americans were rightly concerned about what they saw as a border crisis. Absolutely. That decade saw 1.4 million gotaways at the southern border. But in the most recent government reporting, it took just 2 years, 2022 and 2023, for the number of gotaways to reach 1.6 million. Now think about that. More gotaways in the last 2 years than in 10 years. Only a minuscule percentage of gotaways enter the country for the purpose of terrorism, but it doesn't take many anyway. Only 19 hijackers carried out the 9/11 attacks. Those who cross the southern border illegally come from all over the world. If someone from Pakistan wants to illegally enter the United States, they go to Mexico and then cross the U.S. border. And they are coming from everywhere, including our known enemies like Russia and China and nations like Pakistan, known to harbor terrorists. Staggering as the gotaway numbers are, it gets worse. We don't know how many people slipped into the country, gotaway, without being spotted. It is a long border. Many terrorists are adept at tunnel building. And we know the border is riddled with such underground tunnels. And then there are the caught and released. On June 11th, we learned about the arrest of 8 men from Tajikistan. They are suspected of having ties to ISIS. At the border, officials vetted them and found them clean. As of the time I write this, they have only been arrested on immigration violations. Terror-related charges are supposed to come later. In April, the FBI arrested a Baltimore man they also believed to be affiliated with ISIS. After he had been living in the United States for about a year, his home country of Uzbekistan issued an international notice of his alleged terrorist ties. Another year passed before U.S. officials finally arrested him. Even when the State Department vets people from places like Uzbekistan and Tajikistan, We have no real assurance of the person's peaceful intentions. There are many other examples. At a time when rage against the United States among radical Islamic terrorists is at an all-time high, the United States has what amounts to be an open southern border. Come on in, terrorists, and destroy America. That's basically what we're saying. This concern is more than theoretical, and it could very easily affect your life. So what's the solution? Well, we need a spiritual revival. First of all, among Christians in this country, the Christians need to turn back to God and the Word of God. It's got to start with that. It's got to start with a spiritual revival and Christians turning back to God and the Word of God. Because most Christians in this country are living in reversionism. They're part of the problem. Most Christians in America are part of the problem. They are not a part of the solution. Now there's hope because we're still here. But the pivot of mature believers is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And many of you have guest on the next Old Testament book going to be teaching, so I might as well tell all of you. I'm not going to give gifts to all of you, $1 million to all of you, but the next book is Zechariah. Zechariah, coming up. And in chapter 2 of Zechariah, Zechariah was a part of the group that was taken as slaves in Babylon first and then in Persia. And then there was a great spiritual revival among the believers in Persia. Even Cyrus the Great became a believer in Jesus Christ. And then he allowed the Jews to go back home. And the ones that went back home were the pivot. The pivot of mature Jewish believers went back home. When they went into exile, they were reversionists under the fifth cycle of national discipline. But when they came back with a pivot of spiritually adult believers. When they came back, the city of Jerusalem was rubble. Totally destroyed. There was no temple. And so they had to rebuild the fortifications, the walls, and rebuild the temple. But God told them, you rebuild the temple first. And Jesus Christ said, I will be the wall. I will be the wall of fire around you and protect you. And how did Jesus Christ become a wall of fire protecting the Jewish people? Because there's a large pivot of spiritually adult believers. When there's a large pivot of mature believers in a nation, Jesus Christ is the wall of fire around that nation, protecting it. But when the pivot is too small, the fifth cycle of discipline is administered and you're destroyed. There is no wall of fire from Jesus Christ at that point. That wall of fire is when there's a large pivot of mature believers. And Jesus Christ said, you put spiritual things first. You put me, the Lord Jesus Christ, first. You rebuild the temple. Don't worry about the not having any walls. Don't worry about that. I will be the wall of fire for you and protect you. You put first things first. You put spiritual things first. You put Jesus Christ first. And that goes for all of you. You need to put Jesus Christ first. Not all the other crap you put first. Jesus Christ first. And he says, you put me first. You put Jesus Christ. You put me first. You rebuild the temple. You came back. You turned back to me. You turned back to the Word of God. Now you rebuild the temple. And I will be the wall that will protect you. I will be a wall of fire for you. So, that's the only hope for America. Only hope. We're still here, so there is hope. But in the freedom that we have here, this is where the Christians in this country need to turn back to God and His Word. To grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. To put Jesus Christ first. First. And if we believers put Jesus Christ first and the pivot enlarges, then Jesus Christ will be the wall of fire around America. And that's the only hope for America. And then he says, we must step through every open door to present the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere we can. Well, that's fulfilling our royal ambassadorship. That's 2 Corinthians 5 where we are in our Wednesday night class. We have two royal commissions as royal family of God. We've been commissioned a royal priest to represent ourselves before God. We've been commissioned a royal ambassador to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. First you fulfill your royal priesthood and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And then that will motivate you to fulfill your royal ambassadorship and represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And that's part of what's going to go on next week, Monday through Friday, Vacation Bible School, the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right. Joel chapter 3. So far we've gone through about two-thirds of verse 2. So let's start at verse 1. For behold, in those days and at that appointed time. Now what does that refer to? Those days and that appointed time. That's the early days of the millennial kingdom. Right after the second advent of Jesus Christ, when I, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall cause to bring back the fortunes and grace blessings of Judah and Jerusalem, the remnant of Jewish believers will be rescued by Jesus Christ at the second advent, brought into the millennial kingdom. And restored to Israel. And the Jewish people will be the client nation to God for 1,000 years in the millennial kingdom. With the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling planet Earth from Jerusalem. That's verse 1. And then verse 2. I will intensively gather together all the Gentile unbelievers, and I will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, which means the Lord judges, the valley of judgment. And I will enter into judgment with them there concerning my people, even concerning my inheritance, Israel. Now, we started last week by answering three very important questions. Question number one was, what judgment is this? This judgment takes place after the second advent, at the beginning of the millennial kingdom. This judgment takes place after the second advent, at the beginning of the millennial kingdom. This judgment will take place on earth in the valley of Jehoshaphat, the valley of the Lord judges. It's imperative not to confuse this judgment with the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment will take place at the end of the millennial kingdom. The great white throne judgment is related to the second resurrection, the resurrection of all unbelievers out of Hades and torments to be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ and cast into the lake of fire, the second death. Question number two, what is meant by the judgment of all Gentile nations? Well, the key word here is hagoyim. And hagoyim can refer to nations, and when it does refer to nations, it's Gentile nations. Or hagoyim can refer to Gentile individuals, individual Gentiles. And in our passage, it refers to individual Gentiles within the country, not the judgment of the entire nation. The message of salvation presented in the tribulation by the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, and the 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, calls for individual faith in Jesus Christ, not national faith. There is no mention in Scripture that whole Gentile nations will accept or reject the proclamation of the gospel. There will be individual Gentiles in the tribulation that will respond to the grace gospel and believe in Christ. There will be individual Gentiles who will reject Jesus Christ. In all the judgments presented in Scripture, it is the individual, not the nation, who is judged. And then we add a third question. Is the Valley of Jehoshaphat the same as the Valley of Megiddo? And the answer is no. The judgment that takes place in the Valley of Megiddo, the Armageddon campaign, takes place in the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is the last half of the tribulation period, which is 7 years in length. So Armageddon campaign takes place in the Great Tribulation, which is the 70th week of Daniel. It's the last part of the Age of Israel. While the judgment in the Valley of Jehoshaphat takes place in the millennial kingdom, Satan, through his man, the Antichrist, is marshaling the armies of the world into the Valley of Megiddo to try to totally annihilate Israel in the Great Tribulation. However, at the time of the judgment in the Valley of Jehoshaphat in the millennial kingdom, Satan is in prison. He's in prison in the abyss, Revelation 20, 1-3. The judgment in the Valley of Megiddo takes place in a time of world war. World war. The king of the north, Russia, and all his allies, including Iran, the kings of the east, communist China, the kings of the south, the pan-Arabic bloc, the revived Roman Empire led by the Antichrist, all assemble in war in the Valley of Megiddo. While the judgment in the Valley of Jehoshaphat takes place in a time of world peace, the millennial kingdom, 1,000 years of world peace, because the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, is ruling on planet Earth. At the second advent, Gentile believers will be rescued, just like Jewish believers will be rescued, and they'll all be brought into the millennial kingdom. And these Gentile believers brought into the millennial kingdom, why, they will come to Jerusalem from all over the world for Bible conferences. For Bible conferences and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gentile unbelievers, however, will be brought to the Valley of Jehoshaphat for judgment and cast into the fire of torments, and held there in prison until the second resurrection and facing Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. So I will intensively gather together all the Gentiles, and I will bring them down into the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of the Lord Judges, and I will enter into judgment with them there. For my people and for my heritage, Israel. The Lord's people is Israel. The Lord's heritage is Israel. Absolutely, dogmatically declared in the Word of God. The preposition now means concerning. The Hebrew word am is people. First person singular suffix, my people. The Lord Jesus Christ's people, Israel. The Jewish people are the Lord Jesus Christ people. The preposition al gives us the basis for this judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ will judge the Gentiles for the way they have treated the Jew, for their anti-Semitism, for their hatred of the Jew and Israel, for their attempt to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. The Jews are the Lord's people and the Lord's inheritance. And then we have the ascensive vav, and that's translated even. So this says, therefore my people is the same group as my inheritance. So you could translate this concerning my people, even concerning my heritage, Israel. Nakala is the word for possession and property, inheritance. First person singular suffix, my inheritance. The Lord Jesus Christ's inheritance. And who is the Lord Jesus Christ's inheritance? Yisrael, Israel. And so a principle. Israel is the Lord's own inheritance. And this is taught again and again and again in the Scriptures. And so, I hope you brought your Bible. You need a Bible? Oh, that's not a Bible. I know, everybody uses those things. Guess what? I don't have one. I have this one here. This one here. This one here. And these are all translations. That's the King James. There's the NASV. There's the NIV. And I don't even study from those. I study from the God-breathed Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, and the God-breathed Koine Greek Scriptures, the New Testament. I do all my study from that because I want to make sure that when I teach you, I'm teaching you what God, the Holy Spirit, put down there. And so I take the time to study from the original languages. And by the way, I am having more fun studying from the original languages than I ever have in my life. Whew. They get better and better and better. Deb and I just had our 49th anniversary, and it's gotten better and better and better every year. 49 was better than 48. And 48 and 49 were way better than number one. It just keeps getting better and better and better. And that's the same way and my studying and teaching the Word of God. I'm having more fun teaching God's Word now than ever before. My brother Don called me every Monday. And this Monday he called and he says, I loved every class you taught this week. It was fantastic. He says, my wife said, Don, I said, I'm having more fun studying and teaching the Word of God than I ever in my life. He said, it comes across. I can tell you're having more fun than you have in your life. So I don't know, maybe that means I'm about ready to die. So I'll see you, see the rest of you in heaven, see. So Israel is the Lord's own inheritance. Turn over to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4, verse 20. Deuteronomy 4, 20. Deuteronomy 4, verse 20. But as for you, the Lord took you, Israel, and brought you out of the iron smelting furnace, out of Egypt, to be the people of his inheritance, as you now are. And then turn over to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 12. Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Now turn over to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Psalm 78, first of all, verse 62. He gave his people over to the sword. This is when they turned away from him and his word, and the five cycles of national discipline came on Israel. He gave his people over to the sword, and he was very angry with his inheritance. That's when they turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look over at verse 70. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pen. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, that's Israel, of Israel, his inheritance. And now Psalm 79, verse 1. O God, the nations have invaded your inheritance, Israel. They have defiled your holy temple. They have reduced Jerusalem to rubble. And, of course, that looks at Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans coming in 586 B.C., Sargon II, 721 B.C. Now turn over to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. Psalm 94, verse 14. For the Lord will not reject his people. He will never, never forsake his inheritance. And then turn to Micah. Micah chapter 7. And Micah is similar to Jonah in the last part of Micah, is looking at the future blessings for Israel in the millennial kingdom. And that's the same thing that Joel does in Joel 3. Micah 7, verse 14. Shepherd your people with your staff. This is the Lord Jesus Christ shepherding his people, Israel, with your staff. The flock of your inheritance, which lives by itself in a forest, in fertile pasture land. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in days long ago. Now over at verse 18. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever. It pleases you to show grace. Kesev. And that's, even though the Lord's people Israel has gone through Holocaust after Holocaust after Holocaust, the five cycles of national discipline, been removed from their nation, held in slavery, there is a promise that when Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, there will be a remnant of Jewish people that will realize Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And they will believe in Jesus Christ. And they will be rescued and brought in and restored. Israel will be restored as a client nation to God. For 1,000 years. So Israel is the Lord's own inheritance. I will intensively gather together all the Gentiles, and I will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, the valley of the Lord judges, and I will enter into judgment with them there concerning my people, even concerning my inheritance, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. This is the relative pronoun asher plus the pal perfect of pazar plus the preposition base prefix to the plural of noun goyim. All right, we have asher, and we've seen this many times, and most of the time it's a relative pronoun. Aleph, A-S-H-E-R, Asher. And as a relative pronoun, it's translated either which or who or whom. However, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew Lexicon, page 83, tells us that Asher also has a causal force and therefore may be translated since or because. And in Joel 3 verse 2, we have the causal force of Asher. Asher introduces the cause or the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ will enter into judgment with the Gentiles in the valley of Jehoshaphat following the second advent. And then we have the verb pazar. Oop. Aha. You caught that, didn't you? Aha. Not a comment. It's a pathak. You said, oh, yeah. We knew that. P-A-Z-A-R. Pazar. Couple of things. One, pazar means to scatter, to disperse, to separate. Scatter, disperse, separate. Two, the PL stem is the intensive stem of the Hebrew. Three, therefore, the PL stem emphasizes the intense and horrible persecution of the Jews all throughout history. But especially, it's looking at the Great Tribulation. The PL stem emphasizes the intense and horrible persecution of the Jews throughout human history, but especially in the Great Tribulation. The preposition bath Bishava, generally it means in, specifically it means among here, among, and then the plural noun goyim. G long O Y I M, goyim. And goyim here is used for nations. Here's the used nations, the Gentile nations. Corrected translation. Because they have intensively scattered my people, the Jewish people, among the Gentile nations. And parted my land. This is the conjunction vav prefixed to the direct object marker F, which is joined by a makef to the noun eretz, with the first person singular suffix, plus the PL perfect of the verb chalak. All right. Now the vav. The vav here is a continuative vav, means and then chalak. C-H-A-L-A-Q, kalak. All right, a couple of things. One, kalak means to divide up or to apportion. The P-A-L stem, again, is the intensive stem of the Hebrew. Two, kalak implies military invasion of Israel by the Gentile nations. Seizing the land and dividing it up as spoils for themselves. Kalak implies military invasion of Israel by the Gentile nations, seizing the land and dividing it up as spoils for themselves. Three, the PL stem emphasizes the holocaust of war, military invasion, and Israel's military defeat. The PL stem emphasizes the holocaust of war, military invasion, Israel's military defeat. Four, it emphasizes all the atrocities that go with war, and the administration of the fifth cycle of national discipline. It emphasizes all the atrocities that go with war and the administration of the fifth cycle of national discipline. And then we have the direct object marker. They never had this in English, but they had it in Hebrew. Had a marker to tell you, hey, this is the direct object. Oh, all right. The direct object marker introduces what the Gentile nations conquered and divided up among themselves. And that is Eretz with the first person singular suffix. Aleph, E-R-E-T-S, Eretz. Eretz means the land, but it's with the first person singular suffix. The land is Israel. First person singular suffix, my land, the Lord's land. Israel is the Lord's land. And the Lord, Jesus Christ, deeded that land to Israel. Not to Hamas, not to Hezbollah, not to Iran, not to anybody, not to any Arab peoples. He deeded it to Israel and only to Israel. So,
My land, the Lord's land. All right, now, corrected translation. I will intensively gather together all the Gentiles, and I will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, the valley of the Lord judges, and I will enter into judgment with them there concerning my people, even concerning my inheritance, Israel, because they have intensely scattered my people, the Jews, among the Gentile nations, and they have intensely divided up my land. All right, one. The land of Israel is the Lord's land. The land of Israel is the Lord's land. Two, the Lord deeded the land to Israel. The Lord deeded the land to Israel. Three, for 20 centuries, the land has been downtrodden, divided, and destroyed. Four, it has been occupied during this period by some 14 various powers at one time or another. It has been occupied during this period by some 14 various powers at one time or another. Five, the Lord Jesus Christ will judge the Gentiles for the way they have treated the Jew and divided up the land through military invasion, occupation, and oppression. The Lord Jesus Christ will judge the Gentiles for the way they have treated the Jew and divided up the land through military invasion, occupation, and oppression. Six, the Assyrians destroyed the 10 northern tribes of Israel in 722 BC. Sargon II totally destroyed the northern kingdom. And the few survivors, well, it was horrible. He took ropes with meat hooks, large meat hooks, put the meat hooks in the backs of the Jewish people, all tied on a rope, and then pulled them all the way up to Assyria. Nineveh. He led them back to Nineveh. Seven. Then the Chaldeans destroyed the southern kingdom, Judah, in 586 BC. And Nebuchadnezzar and led the few survivors back in slavery to Babylon. Then the Chaldeans destroyed the southern kingdom, Judah, in 586 BC under Nebuchadnezzar and led the survivors in slavery back to Babylon. Eight. However, it was not until the Romans destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD, that the Jews were scattered across the earth to suffer as no other people in human history. However, it was not until the Romans destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD that the Jews were scattered all across the earth to suffer as no other people in human history. Nine. Now, in our verse, Joel 3, verse 3, and Joel 3, verse 6, we will see that the Gentiles will be judged, and specifically for selling the sons and daughters of Israel into slavery. Now in Joel 3, verse 3 and Joel 3, verse 6, we will see that the Gentiles will be judged for selling the sons and daughters of Israel into slavery. Verse 3, and they have cast lots for my people, the Lord Jesus Christ people. This is the conjunction vav prefix to the preposition el, which is joined by a makef to the noun am with the first person singular suffix, plus the cal perfect of the verb yadad, plus the noun Goral. All right. Now this time, the vav is used differently. This time we have the adjunctive use of vav. And you translate the adjunctive vav also. Should be correctly translated also. And then the preposition el. Aleph, E-L, preposition L means two or four. And then the noun am. I-N-A-M, am. But it's am means people, but it's first person singular suffix of am. My people, the Lord's people, the Jews. And then the verb yadad. Y-A-D-A-D, yadad. And that's yadad is in honor of Father's Day, Sunday. And that means to cast a lot. And then we have the noun, goral. G, long, O, R, A, L. So yadad means the casting of the lot or the throwing, casting or throwing a lot. Goral is the lot. They have also cast lots for my people. Corrected translation. They have also cast lots for my people. Now this was the method of selling people into slavery in the ancient world. And that's how it's used here in this verse. They have also cast lots for my people, selling the Jewish people into slavery. All right, a couple of things. The Bible really has a lot to say about casting lots. And by the way, let me make something clear here. I have had people in visit Upland Bible Church and then come up to me after class was over and they'd say, Pastor Olson, we hate Las Vegas. I said, well, why is that? Gambling. They're down there throwing dice at the tables, playing blackjack, slot machines. And we can't wait to get out of here. I said, well, that's okay. Feelings are mutual. We can't wait for you to leave either. Toodaloo, you know. This has nothing to do with gambling. Nothing to do with gambling. At all. This isn't casting lots. It's not playing craps at the crap table. And sevening out. Or making your point. There's nothing in here about, you know, the Bible doesn't say any, there's nowhere in the Bible that says gambling is a sin. Playing craps is a sin. Blackjack is a sin. Slot machine is a sin. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that. Now, I will tell you something. If you think you're just going to go and take your check, you get your paycheck, and you're going to go down and win $1 million. No, you're not. You're going to lose everything you got. How do you think? You think they would open up these casinos if they were going to lose? They open up the casinos because they are going to win. Oh, you say, no, one time. Yeah, okay. One time you won $100. Woo! But the other 1,000 times you lost thousands of dollars. So if you think that you're going to make it, you're going to be a professional gambler, well, I got news for you. I'll see you in the poorhouse. But the Bible's silent on gambling. This has nothing to do with gambling. But it has something to do with the... And God used this, by the way, in several different ways. So if you're going to say this is gambling, then God gambled several different times. So let's take a look at some of this. Actually, no, we're not going to take a look at it. You want to find out about casting lots? Come next time. The Bible has a lot to say. Jonah found out. The ship was going down, and so the captain of the ship says, well, we got to find out who's the problem here. And he cast lots, and it said, that came up, Jonah! And they threw him over. As soon as they threw him over, it calmed down, and everything was fine. So, come back next week and we'll look at the doctrine of casting lots. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.